Good morning. Scripture reading today is going to be found in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 209. Page 209, Joshua 3, verses 1 through 17. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went out to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Thank you.
Well, good morning again. I want to talk to you this morning about something that's pretty important. I want to talk to you this morning about defining moments. So what is a defining moment? Well, you know, it could be a bunch of things. Very simply translated, a defining moment is any time in your life in which a choice that you make or some sort of an incident or thing happens causes a significant change in your life. That's a defining moment. It's something from that moment on that will characterize a part of your life. A defining moment can be when we move from being a kid to a teenager or a teenager to an adult. It can be the day that we get married or we have our first child or our grandchild. It could be when we graduate from college or from high school. It might be during the death of a loved one, so dearly remembered. Thank you, Jay. And thank you, Misty and Dan. For New England football fans, it was when the Patriots punched their tickets to the Super Bowl last week. Right? As God's people, we will experience defining moments as we walk with the Lord. The New Testament refers to those times with the Greek word called kairos. It is a moment of time when the Holy Spirit draws us near and prompts us to move out in faith to accomplish great things for the kingdom. As a church, brothers and sisters, we are on the precipice of a defining moment. In fact, I believe we are about to enter into a kairos event. As we prepare for a new pastor, you can be sure that the decision that is made by all of us is going to have an impact on ministry to Beverly and the North Shore. It will change us from who we are now to who God wants us to become. This morning's scripture passage is one of those defining moments for the people of God who made up the nation of Israel. Now, let me set up the story. They were, in the midst of a leadership change. You know, Moses had died after leading the children of Israel through the desert for 40 years. And he got to the promised land, and God wouldn't let him come in because of a mess up he had made along the way. We won't go into the whole details of that, but Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. He could only see it. And God anoints Joshua to be the new leader. So in chapter 2, if you go start reading through this whole thing, Joshua wants to check things out, so he sends spies out into the land to see what was going on. And the spies came back and said, "The Lord has surely given the whole land to our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." Now Joshua, being a very wise but still yet kind of a new leader, made the decision to stop at the Jordan River, camp out, think about things, so that the Lord could prepare Israel for the victory that they were about to encounter, that was about to happen to them. But, you know, here's the thing, right? To get victory, they couldn't stay at the Jordan. They had to move into the promised land, okay? They were called to claim the promised land. In one sense, we're like that nation of Israel today. We are standing on the shores of the Jordan. God's promises are what we have to lean on as we together move into the future. This time is a defining moment for Living Hope. Defining moments, by the way, don't happen in our comfort zones. They really don't. God is pushing us out of our comfort zones. It's time for us collectively to take risks. It's time to move forward. It's time to let Beverly and the rest of the North show that Jesus loves them and has a plan for their lives. This is the time. This is our kairos, our defining moment, if we choose to be obedient. The defining moments that God has planned for us, I guarantee you, will be challenging. Now, some of those challenges could be easy. Some of those challenges could be difficult. But I'll tell you this, they will be exciting. So, as God's people, what must we do to prepare ourselves for such a great future? Well, if you look at the scripture with me, if you go back to chapter 3, verse 5, we are told to consecrate ourselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. In one sense, Joshua was saying to the nation, great things will happen when we give our lives completely to the Lord. And that's what the word consecrate means. It means to dedicate somebody or something to a particular purpose. And in God's kingdom, it simply means to set oneself apart for his purposes. For Israel, that act of consecration was where Israel purified itself and recommitted herself to a lifestyle of holiness. They were reminded of God's holiness and the requirement to be God's holy people. As it was with Israel, so it is with us. We need to examine our lives in regard to how we are seeking individually and corporately to live for Jesus as we move forward. As followers of Christ, our consecration in this local community means committing ourselves to be disciples. We as individuals, we as the body of Christ, must be completely sold out and devoted to Christ and his kingdom. And this is not an easy road, especially in the day and age that we live in. We as individuals and a body must be completely sold out and devoted to Christ. Many times the blessings of God and this life's challenges seem to go hand in hand. And some of those life's challenges, you and I know, can be pretty hard and pretty difficult. But we're reminded in Mark chapter 10 from Jesus that the disciples left everything behind to follow Christ, and in return, Christ promised them God's blessing. So are we willing to leave the past behind us? Are we willing to look to the future and move forward? Because that's what we're going to need to do. It's critical. Okay. being a follower of Jesus in our world today is hard. There's no question about that. But living up to those challenges, facing those challenges, he will help us and he will lead us to do great things for God and the kingdom. The thing to remember, I think, is that a consecrated life doesn't depend on human power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will fuel our endeavors to walk with him and to do great things for the kingdom. Like Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So what does it mean for us, 2017? What has consecration got to look like? Well, first of all, it requires us to believe God. Did you notice what I said there? I didn't say believe in God. I said believe God. There is a great chasm, if you will, between believing God and believing in God. The two are totally different. To believe in God is strictly a mental assent to a bunch of biblical platitudes. I hear it all the time. Oh, I believe in God, Mike. I'm sure you've heard people say that to you too. I believe in God. That's great. The demons believe in God and shudder. Amen? Do we believe God? Do we believe God? Do we believe God? To truly believe God requires a change of mind and a change of heart. A change of mind and a change of heart. Do we truly believe that God is able to do great things in our fellowship? Or are we just playing a game here, playing church? I don't want to sound mean, and that's not my intention. But this is serious stuff. This is serious business to be God's church in 2017. Do we want to be consecrated disciples? If we really want to be consecrated disciples, we need to be committed to building a legacy of integrity in our personal lives, a legacy of integrity in our families, and yes, a legacy of integrity in the context of our spiritual community here. Secondly, consecration means we have to excel at the basics. I can tell you this. There hasn't been a Sunday in my life that I've been a pastor where somebody hasn't come to me and talked to me about struggling with the Christian life. It can be a challenge. There's no question about that. Okay? But as I stated earlier, discipleship is hard stuff. So when we go back to the basics, let's just take a personal inventory. Are you reading your Bible every day? I don't want to know. It's between you and God, okay? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Pastor Gene. We're praying for you. We want you to know that. But are you reading your Bible every day? You eat breakfast every day? Somebody once said to me, Pastor, your sermons aren't that good. I'm starving to death during the week. And I said, really? I said, do you read your Bible every day? No. Do you pray every day? No. When you go out after church on Sunday, you go out to dinner? Yep. Is that the only meal you eat during the week? Am I right? I mean, seriously. I'm serious when I talk about this stuff. Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you praying every day? Talking with God and letting God speak to you? Are you seeking God's will for your life? This is perfect will and this is permissive will. In his perfect will, we will follow what he wants. In his permissive will, sometimes he just lets us get away with things, and that's not good. Because I don't think we're going to get blessed that way. We need to see God's perfect will for our lives. Are we praying that God's will be accomplished here in our fellowship? Critical days ahead of us. Are we praying? You and I, are we praying in terms of new people finding Jesus? And what are we doing about that as individuals and as a body? Devotional life, my friends, is the foundation of the consecrated life. We have to take the time to feed ourselves physically, and we need to take the time to feed ourselves spiritually. So many times I've run into people, Christians, that give God their leftover time when it comes to the devotional life, and that is not a good practice. That needs to be our first thing every day, a devoted thing. Now, if you can't do it first thing in the morning, do it at night. Pick a time, stay with it. Make that the first priority in your life. Good things will happen, I promise. What about church attendance? We're all here, so this doesn't count for you. You're all here today, right? But, you know, And I know that if there are some people hearing this, Mike, they feel like, oh, you're stepping on my toes, Mike, you know. But, you know, sometimes people, you know, come to church and they're just kind of going through the motions. Do we come to church every Sunday with an expectant attitude? An expectant heart? Expecting God to move? Or do you just, you know, get here? Maybe you get here, you know, on time. Maybe you don't. Maybe you skip Sundays because, you know, the game is going to be on and you don't want to miss the game, whatever the case may be. Have you purposed in your heart to give the Lord your best time? Because that's what worship really is all about. Giving God our best time. Letting him dwell within our hearts. Letting him speak to our hearts. Letting him mold and shape our lives so that we can be committed followers of Jesus. You know, I've been in pastoral ministry since 1989, and I've heard it all, and I'm sure you have too. So, you know, questions. Do we plan our events in life around God's time in worship, or do we plan God's time in our worship of him around the events in life? Things to consider. How do we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ here in the family? Are we patient? Are we kind? Are we loving? A consecrated life, brothers and sisters, does not make excuses. A consecrated life makes the effort to give the best of all to Jesus Christ. I believe that the most important thing that a consecrated life can do is simply not to give lip service to the Word of God, but rather believes the promises of God and then moves out in faith and acts on them. The bottom line is simple. We as the body of Christ must dedicate ourselves to personal and corporate holiness, dedicate ourselves to the mission of being disciples who are committed to the kingdom and the King. Consecrate ourselves. Secondly, what we must do is we must be willing to stand in the river. Now, look at verse 8. It says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Now, a great deal of potential was waiting for Israel on the other side of the Jordan. The Lord called them to go beyond the bank of the river and then stand in the water. Now, I'm thinking this is probably kind of an unusual request. I mean, what would you do if somebody told you to go down to the Bass River and stand in the middle of it this morning? Would you go do it? You'd probably say, what? Are you crazy? Yeah, especially if you can't swim. I'm not a good swimmer, so I don't think I'd go out and stand in the middle of the Bass River. But think about that, right? You'd think that they were nuts, they had lost it, maybe they were being disrespectful. But here's the situation. Basically, historically, Israel was at this scenario. 40 years earlier, remember, God had commanded them to walk through the Red Sea, and I'm sure they faced the same kind of fear and trepidation, but they did it. And what happened? They crossed through the Red Sea and got away from the Egyptians. Now God was going to do the same thing. He brought them to the edge of the Jordan and was ready to do the same thing. But the problem was, the challenge was, is that many of the people who were there at the edge of the Jordan didn't get to see the Red Sea thing. Most of those people had died. And now there's this new generation of believers that were being put to a test of obedience. Crossing the Jordan was definitely an obstacle that needed to be overcome. They could either stand on the bank and miss the blessings, or they could step out in faith and receive the blessings. It's the same thing for us. In God's kingdom, all believers are priests. You remember what Peter would write in his first epistle? But you, what, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. For the last several months, you could say that we've kind of moved from camp to the bank of the river, and in short order, we will have a new leader. We have been focused on the process of selecting that next pastor, but once that decision is made, priesthood of believers, are we ready to stand in the river? You and I cannot walk on water unless we are willing to get our feet wet. Amen? We need to purposely do more in the community than we have been. I believe that God is calling us to prayer and to action. We must be willing to step into the water by faith, and if we don't, we will stare at the river and we will watch the blessings of God just sail away downstream. But if we will step into the water, if we refuse to do business as usual, if we are willing to fight the enemy of our souls and of humanity, Satan, at every corner, an opportunity that God will give us, we, living hope, will make an impact for the kingdom. We will have a positive influence in Beverly and the surrounding communities. We will see our faith community begin to grow. Once we're in that water, we have to stand firm. That's what the priest did. Well, what does that mean, to stand firm? For us, I believe standing firm means that as a community, we must be the unified people of God, one in mind, one in heart, one in purpose. It will serve us well to remember Jesus' prayer from John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved me even as I have loved them. So we must consecrate our lives. We must be willing to stand in the water and stand firm in God's word, but we also have the courage to finally cross over to the other side. You'll notice what happens when the nation begins to move out in faith. The scripture says this: the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. God had provided a miracle to the nation because they were willing to trust the Lord. The principle here is pretty simple. Faith needs to be more than an intellectual assent to biblical platitudes. Faith needs to be more than an intellectual assent to church goals. Faith becomes operative when it is accompanied by action. As the people focused on the ark, which was symbolic of Yahweh's presence in the community, and had sought him in prayer, the Lord opened a way for a very successful crossing. You know, if you look at where we have been as a church over the years, this church has invested much time and dollars into the history. If you remember what Pastor Jeff shared with us a couple of weeks ago when he read the report, the highlights of his findings, he reminded us that there was a lot of sacrifice given by previous generations who made it this faith community. Now it's our turn. When we cross over our Jordan into this new territory, our success will only come with unceasing prayer, an expectant attitude, and a willingness not to settle for the status quo. Do you expect to make a difference in the kingdom? Do you expect to make a difference in the community around us? Do you expect to win souls for the kingdom? Are you willing to pray for that? Are you willing to work towards that? People's eternal destinies, brothers and sisters, are in our hands. You ever stop and think about that? How critical that is? How important that is? Why are we here if we're not helping people find Jesus? Will we stay in the bank? Or will we cross over the Jordan? Do you believe that God has a great thing for us to do and to accomplish in the very near future? I do. We collectively are called to work towards that end. We are called to pray, to be a prayer warrior, to be a soul winner. And God is counting on us. I can tell you this, the next pastor cannot do this by himself. It's going to take all of us working together as a team, as a family, to go out and spread the gospel, to make a difference in people's lives. When the nation of Israel had finally crossed over into the promised land, the Lord provided many opportunities for victory, and eventually the entire land belonged to the nation. We have that same opportunity in front of us. This, for us, is Kairos. It's our defining moment. Great things can happen if we will consecrate our lives, if we will stand firm and have the courage to cross over into the promised land that the Lord has for us. Our defining moment, brothers and sisters, has been made possible by a historical defining moment. Because over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross to take upon himself the sins of the world for all people of all times. And that includes you and me. He died on that cross, but he was raised to life on that third day. And the good news is that Jesus is still alive today. Okay? He is active in our lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. And his return to earth is a sure thing. It's really neat. So I have to ask you this. Has Jesus Christ and his eternal life gift become a defining moment in your life? If you have never allowed Jesus to define your life, or if you are in a place where you've gotten away from a consecrated life, he invites you today to Kairos, a defining moment right here and right now. The nation of Israel had an attitude to take possession of the land. Our attitudes and our goals must be centric to taking possession of the hearts of people with our inner sphere of influence for Jesus Christ. We're about to enter a new chapter in our church life. Let's begin in one heart and one mind. Together, let's cross the river. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, we are thankful for your presence in this place, and we thank you for the journey that we have been on. You have brought us, Father God, to the shores of Jordan. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to stand firm, to stand in the word, to stand together in unity, to cross over the Jordan, and to, for us, Father, as we enter into this new chapter of our lives, to make a great difference for the kingdom of God and for the community around us. I pray for those this morning here who may be struggling with their walk with you, Father. I pray that they would just refocus, get back into the basics. And if there's somebody here, Father, who's never even entered in, I pray that today might be their defining moment to accept Jesus as personal Savior. We thank you this morning for all that you're saying and doing. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're like that this morning, please see Pastor Gene and myself, because we would love to sit and talk with you and help you. I'd like to invite Linda Snow.